The American Pit Bull Terrier's origins date back to the Roman Empire, when they were used as hunting dogs. The breed is intelligent, strong, playful, and easily trained. And according to Lisa Kitchens, the shelter director of Wishbone Canine Rescue, they are a maligned and misunderstood breed.
You really have to look at history in order to understand that. For instance, in the 1800s, in the media, if you go back and look at records, what you'll find is that bloodhounds were the dog that everybody was worried about. Now, that was a general term, but
they're a scent hound.
Yeah,
they're
but
a scent hound.
They tended to be the dogs that were going after everyone at that time. The pit bull type dogs were an all-purpose farm dog. You know, there were some that they used for fighting, but fortunately, they're very game. And what game means is they're very good at whatever they do. They'll stick to it, you know, type of thing. So they were used on farms for herding, for protection, for just anything that people needed.
So they were kind of a general purpose kind of a dog?
They were. And they even, in the early part of the 20th century, had the nickname the nanny dog. You remember Little Rascals?
Petey.
Petey ran around with the kids. I mean, that was very common. But then as the century went on, you know, people, like, say, business owners, they didn't want that general all-purpose dog of the people. They wanted a purebred dog. They wanted a foreign breed, you know, something fancy, an Irish setter or things like that. So they kind of went by the wayside, although people, the common people, always still had them, but they were tended to be less popular with the general population.
Now, the ASPCA website actually gives the breed an endorsement that could basically fit a golden retriever with regards to temperament and that sort of thing. And yet, there are stories that are in the media constantly about people being attacked and even killed by these dogs.
Right.
Time magazine in 2014 said that pit bulls are responsible for 68% of all dog attacks.
Well, here's the problem with that. It's very difficult to, A, you have to identify the breed. There's a book by Karen DeLeese called Fatal Dog Attacks, where she goes back and looks at all those fatal dog attacks that used to be kept track of by the CDC. Most of those dogs were misidentified. You also have to know the population density, so you have to know what the breed is. The CDC has actually stopped keeping those dog bite statistics because it is impossible to figure a real percentage. We just don't have the information. So I'd be interested to know where they got that information. I would hazard to guess that it's from old studies that have been now debunked because we just don't have the information in order to be able to calculate those percentages.
Lisa, do you feel there's an anti-pit bull hysteria running through the media these days?
I think it's better. I think the last couple years has been a lot better, but especially in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, you know, absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't blame the media. I mean, you got to sell newspapers. You know, you want people to listen to your radio show. I mean, so those kind of things get people's attention, but especially since the Vic. Michael Vick tragedy.
The Michael Vick, yeah. You know, they're used in dogfighting so much, probably because of what you described is their game for anything.
Exactly. They want to please their owners. So, but since that tragedy that was covered by the media, which really kind of helped because the majority of those dogs that were confiscated were adopted out. Some of them were even trained to be therapy dogs. So this whole notion that just because a dog is a fighting dog, that it's dangerous, it needs to be killed, it's not true. It's just not true.
So the violence is not in their DNA. The violence comes from who is owning them and training them to be violent.
You know, pit bull advocates commonly say, well, it's all in how you train the dog. And I don't like to necessarily talk about pit bulls because pit bulls are dogs too. And there are a lot of factors that go into behavior. A breed of a dog is never the sole determining factor in attacks. For instance, unneutered dogs are 2.6 times more likely to bite than a neutered dog. Male dogs are 6.2 times likely to bite than female dogs.
So a lot of factors go into how a dog behaves in that manner.
Exactly. Temperament is very inheritable. If you breed two dogs that have known good temperaments, you are more likely to have puppies with good temperaments. However, there are a lot of factors that are involved. Dogs that bite tend to be chained or restrained dogs obtained for guarding. multiple dogs with a pack mentality, things like that. So if a dog is not well trained, or a dog is abused, or a dog is physically not well, even if it comes from good parents, it could be a problem. So a lot of times in the media, it's portrayed as a black and white issue, and there are really a lot of gray areas. You really need to judge a dog by individual animals.
A number of communities have been banning pit bulls. Buffalo Grove in Illinois, Pawnee, East Dubuque have bans. Is that changing now? Are the bans quietly starting to go away?
They are kind of, and it's interesting that you mentioned Buffalo Grove, because Illinois actually has a law that says you cannot ban dogs by breed.
So the state has a law that you can't do that. And the community tried to do it.
If a community is home rule, they can do something like that. Breed bans were popular about 10 years ago. There were really a lot of communities that were putting these into effect, thinking they were going to protect citizens. Unfortunately, they found that it didn't. It doesn't work. Breed bans don't work. There's a lot of time spent administrating these things, where animal control officers could be spending more time on public safety and general regulations, such as keeping dogs spayed and neutered, keeping them in their yards, safety programs, rather than going after breeds. And so, you know, after the data's been in, these places are repealing the bans. That's what we're seeing as a trend these days.
What are some of the myths about pit bulls?
They have locking jaws.
They don't have locking jaws.
No. And there actually haven't been any studies regarding, you know, the pounds per pressure that, the dog locks on or anything like that. There's nothing anatomically unique about the jaws of a pit bull. It's absolutely a fallacy. There's some myths, like they have a higher tolerance for pain. Each individual animal's tolerance for pain varies. Generalizations are harmful. We need to look at each individual animal and how they interact with people and other animals.
At Wishbone Canine Rescue, do you see a lot of pit bulls that come in?
Absolutely, that are identified as pit bulls.
They might be pit bull mixes.
When they come in. I mean, we as shelter personnel do the best we can on identification, but it's really tough because people that bring them in don't always know, or they think they know, and they might be wrong.
Do you get dogs that need rehabilitating?
Absolutely. We do have a trainer, and we have dog walkers and other people that help us with that. It's really, really important to look at the dog's individual personality. To get pit bulls adopted out, what we really, really need to do, what a lot of places are doing, is you need to set a strategic goal to turn the pit bull performance around. You need to focus on longer-term objectives like reducing pit bull intake via offering free spay-neuter. Arc Valley Humane Society, this is a recent study, engaged the public, instituted multi-dog play groups, which is a good way to tell how dogs interact with each other and different size dogs. And they also train pit bulls to obey basic commands and become canine good citizens. As a result of these efforts, Arc Valley Humane Society adopted out all the pit bulls they took out in 2013. In 2012, they euthanized 40% of their shelter's pit bulls. If you want to do it, you can do it. And Wishbone adopts out a lot of really, really nice pit bulls.
Pit bulls do get used for fighting a lot. How do you make sure that the person who's adopting out a pit bull isn't going to go and take him and use him for fighting?
We do have a process where they have to go online and fill out an application, and we check references and things like that. And then they're going to pay for a dog that's spayed or neutered, so they're not going to be able to breed the dog. The overwhelming majority of adopters want to take care of their animals. They want to do the right thing. So we ask them to get a hold of us if they're having training issues. We ask them to please call us. Anytime they need help, we can steer them in the right direction.
So if a dog relapses in its behavior, it can be addressed again.
Yes, absolutely. When a dog is adopted, you don't just say bye-bye and that's it. Obviously, people need to work with their animals, get them plenty of exercise, things like that. With any dog, you need to take into consideration how much time you have to spend with that animal and, how big or small it is and what the activity level is and what they require in order to be happy and healthy and good members of society. I think it's important to note that things are really changing. Like you were saying, there was kind of a big stigma against pit bulls, but they've always been really popular. They're getting even more popular, and you need to know why. Why would they be so popular? Because they generally make great family pets.
That's Lisa Kitchens, shelter director for Wishbone Canine Rescue in Bloomington. I'm Laura Kennedy.